Good morning. Today's daf and Yuma's Mem. Hey, we are on Mem Dalam and Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting at the two daf. Bechol Yom, Haya Zahava Yarok. Every day, the goal would be Yarok. Yarok in modern Hebrew is green, but in the context over here, it's probably a reference to yellow, yellow, gold. So what are we describing over here? So we are going back to the Mishnah. Mishnah on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So longer Mishnah, just giving us some basic descriptions and delineations between Yom Kippur and all the other days of the year. Yom Kippur is a special day. I'm sure we got that basic gist by this point in the Masechta. We're halfway through the Masechta. And so there are certain ways in which the unique and special qualities of Yom Kippur are going to be manifest. And the Mishnah on Mem Gimel Amud Beis gives us a short list, not such a short list, but a list of things that makes the day so special. And over here we're talking about the shovel. So the Mishnah describes the shovel on Yom Kippur was different than the rest of the year. You go back to the Mishnah, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So in the description of the shovel, Bechol Yom Haisa Kveid of Yom Kala. So every day was heavy, and today on Yom Kippur was light. Bechol Yom Haisa Yarok Sarva Yom Arucha. I'm sorry, Yadok Sarva Yom Arucha. Handle on Yom Kippur was longer. So the Gemara already described why exactly we have these differences. Go back to yesterday's daf. And then Bechol Yom Haisa Zahava Yarok Vayom Adom Divrei Rabbi Menachem. And then all of the days of the year. So what kind of gold are we talking about? So it's yellow gold. Happens to be, that's the kind of gold I'm familiar with. Okay. The truth of the matter is there's, and nowadays, again, I know very little about gold and the precious metals, but I know there's white gold. But anyway, the Chol Yom, every day was yellow gold. And then on Yom Kippur, it was a red gold. So, okay, do I really know what the Mishnah is describing over here when it says red gold? Of course not. But it doesn't matter. In other words, there was a type of gold. It was called red gold. I assume it had a red hue to it. Whatever the case was, it was that on Yom Kippur, they used that. Okay, and so right now we're describing gold, and the Gemara now is just going to give us a larger picture of the precious metal of gold, at least from the perspective of the Gemara. Amar Rav Chista, b'chol yom haya zahav yarok, Amar Rav Chista. So now we turn back to our Gemara over here, the Gemara comments. And that is, Shiva Zahavanein. There are, gold can be divided into seven different types of gold. Now, we're also grading the gold as well. So that part is not perfectly clear over here in our Gemara. We're certainly describing the different types of gold, but also it seems to be that we're grading it as well. It's not clear if we're grading it going up or we're grading it going down. Presumably, I'll show you in just a moment why you could make an argument that we're grading it going up, meaning every gold that we're going from the bottom to the top. Again, it's not totally clear in the Braisa, but you can make that argument. Well, let's see the seven types of golds. Amar Chista Shiva Zahavimain. So there's Zahav and Zahav Tov. So there's generic Zahav, and then there's Zahav Tov. That's, okay, different type of gold. Good, it's called good gold. Then there's Zahav Ophir. And then there's Zahav Mufaz and Zahav Shachut and Zahav Sagor and Zahav Parvis. Okay, so those are the seven different types of gold. Now, the Gemara is going to go through each one of them, meaning what's the source that there are, in fact, seven different types of gold. Now, again, this is the kind of thing where it's kind of empirical, meaning we just, in other words, you know your gold, you know your precious metals, and you know you're divine to seven. But the Gemara does this all the time, and that is that if there's a source in Tanakh that could show us that there are seven types of gold, so of course the Gemara is going to go through the trouble of citing the psukim that show that there are in fact seven different grades and types of gold. So Zahav, Zahav, Tov, Dichsiv, Zahav, Aretzahu, Tov. Okay, so we start with a pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis. So in the beginning of civilization, so the Torah gives a description, the Zahav, Aretzahu, Tov. So the gold of that particular land was good, which means that there's generic, and then there's a Zahav Tov. Now, Zahav Ophir, now we're up to the third category of gold, Asime Ophir. So it happens to be that it comes from the place called Ophir. Okay? That's about as much as I can help you in terms of the third category of gold, Zahav Mufaz. So what is it? Shadam La Paz. It looks like Paz. Paz is pearl. So it happens to be a gold that looks like pearl. Okay? We're now at the top of Memhamed Aleph. So Zahav Shachut, Shenit Vekachut. So there's what's called Zahav Shachut, and what it is, so it nitveh, it kind of strings out. What seemingly the Gemara is describing over here, it's very malleable, right? This type of gold. And then Zahav Sagur, And now we're talking about the Zav Sagor. So if you have recollection, the Gemara elsewhere talks about Zav Sagor. The Gemara over here makes mention, makes reference. So B'Shal Sheniftach, Kolachanios Nizgaros, Kolachanios Nizgaros. So when you're selling this Zav Sagor, so, if you happen to be a seller of this type of gold, so all the other stores are going to close because this gold is of such a fine quality that basically there's no other market for any other type of gold and all the other markets could basically close the doors. Okay, so it is the highest standard of gold. Now, it happens to be that, again, that's why this order is a little bit confusing because we have one more grade to get to, meaning that there's a Zahav Sagor, which the Gemara just described basically is the best. So again, if I'm going to guess, and I'm guessing, I don't know this to be so, so it sounds like we're moving up in grades, meaning not just different types of gold, but we're also grading, and we're now moving up to the highest level of gold. But there is a gold level that's higher than that. And that, the Gemara describes as Zahav Parvis. Shadam Ladama Parim, it happens to be red in color. Okay, now I can make an argument, in fact I will make an argument, that this is the highest level of gold, because this is the gold that our Mishnah described as the one that we use on Yom Kippur. So, and again, it's such a special day, such a unique day, that we're going to use the highest level of gold. In other words, the Chashivas Hayom. So even though there is a grade that's below it that the Gemara just gave the highest praise to, you know that when it comes to this Dam Sagur, if you're selling it, nobody else has a market for any other type of gold. Okay, so, but meanwhile, there's a grade that's even higher than that, Dam Adom, or what the Gemara describes as Dam Parvis, that it's even on a higher level, and it's saved and used exclusively for Yom Kippur. It could be. A lot of speculation. I simply don't know. And I'm also guessing. Rav Ashi Amar Chamishi Hein V'Chol Chav Echad Is Be Zav Zav Tov. Rav Ashi says that, look, the Pasuk in Breishis is not giving us two different categories. The Pasuk in Breishis is just simply saying that within the five categories, meaning take out the Zav and Zav Tov, within the five categories, because the way Rav Ashi understands it, there are only five categories, starting with Zahav Ophir, and according to Rav Ashi, it's Zav Ophir, Zav Mufaz, Zav Shachut, Zav Sagor, and Zav Parvis. There are only five categories of gold, then within each category, so there's grade A and double A grade. Okay. Tanya Namihachi. The Gemara quotes the Braisa supporting. The way I thought the Gemara was reading is that Tanya Namihachi is going back on Rav Ashi to support Rav Ashi, but as Rashi points out over here, no. Tanya Namihachi is just a support that there is this Dam Parvis. And the reason why it's called Dam Parvis is because it's connected to par, which means that basically you have a type of red gold. It looks like the blood of an animal. Okay, Bryce telling us that there is in fact this type of red gold. Okay, good. That is a description of the various golds that are used. And again, on Yom Kippur, the shovel used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is going to be made up of gold. Aren't you not allowed to bring gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Gemara doesn't ask this question over here formally. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is bothered in general by this question in terms of, you know, the Kohen Gadol can't wear his big day Zahav when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim because the Gemara says basically, in Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Right, the gold that was there to facilitate Chet HaEgel cannot be used now to represent us as we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So over here, right, it's a simple question. The Gemara doesn't ask it. But over here, now we're bringing a golden shovel, not only a golden shovel, but a golden shovel that's mamish the best of the golds, the highest quality of gold that we're bringing into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that sounds a little bit strange, but the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that the limitation of not wearing gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not wearing gold, right? The shovel's not an accoutrement. The shovel is but only an accoutrement, and the shovel is not is not begadim. It's not how the Kohen Gadol presents himself. And so the limitation of this issue of not introducing gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is only by wearing, but a golden shovel is not an issue. Okay. B'chol yom, there's more to say on that topic, but that's a straightforward straightforward approach. B'chol yom akriv prashachris, b'chol yom haisa daka, v'ayom daka min adaka. Okay, we're burning Ketoros in Yom Kippur. Now, the truth is, as the Mishnah already pointed out, we burn Ketoros every day. Every day, a mana of the Ketoros is burnt, half of it in the morning, half in the afternoon. Good. And you remember, back in the third parak, just one parak ago in the Masechta, we went over specifically the order of the day in terms of when the Ketoros is burnt. But for now, all we need to know is that, suffice to say, it's burnt twice a day. Good. On Yom Kippur, there's also going to be burning. There's actually going to be three Ketoros that are burned Yom Kippur. The standard chatzi mana that's burned in the morning and then burned every day in the afternoon, like every single day. And on top of that, of course, in Yom Kippur, you also have the burning of the Ketoros that's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Good. So now, is it the same Ketoros? The answer is yes and no. Same Ketoros, however, as we learned in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to spend all of two lines discussing, and that is on Yom Kippur, so it has to be ground up, and it has to be ground up again. Finally ground for Yom Kippur. And the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that? Meaning the Mishnah taught us that. So how do I know this information? So Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Daka matam lomar velo kvar nemar v'shachakta mimena hadek. Elahavi daka min hadaka. So the Torah by Yom Kippur gives the instruction that it has to be finally ground. And meanwhile, we know that the default is that it has to be ground. So on Yom Kippur, when the Torah tells us that it has to be ground again, so what does that mean, daka min adaka? So that means to say that for Yom Kippur, for the Ketoros in Yom Kippur, not only do you have to grind it, but you have to re-grind it as well. Okay. Up for discussion, I don't have the Maran Mekumis readily available, but up for a discussion. As I pointed out just moments earlier, on Yom Kippur, so how many Ketoros are we offering? So three. The two that we bring every single day, right? Pras Baboker, Pras Ba'erev. And the special Yom Kippur Ketoros. We just learned a halacha together that in Yom Kippur, it has to be finally ground. Certainly we're talking about the Ketoros that's burned in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That has to be finally ground. On Yom Kippur, does the standard Ketoros as well also have to be finally ground? Okay, so the Gemara gave us only two lines to discuss it. So from the Gemara itself, it's not really clear, and the Rishonim debate this very issue. Okay. B'chol Yom Kohanim Olim B'mizrachu Shel Kevesh. You know, every day the Kohanim, when they go up the ramp, they go up on the east side of the ramp. And then on Yom Kippur, you know what we do? The Kohen Gadol goes up in the middle of the ramp, right up the center. So Da'amar Mar Kol Pina Shata Pona Lo Yehi La Derech Yemin LeMizrach. Good. So why is it that the standard approach up the ramp is up the east side? So the answer is very simple, because when you get up to the top of the ramp and you get up to the top of the Mizbech, so we all know what you're going to do, right hand turn. You always make a right hand turn. Kol Pina Shata Pona Eino Ela Derech Yemin. You only make a right hand turn. Good. So you know you're going to make a right hand turn, so you're going to go up the ramp, up the right hand side. Okay, in other words, you're like driving here in America and most of the world, notable exception to Britain. So you know you're going to make a right hand turn, so you have to be in the right lane. Okay, good. Now what about Yom Kippur? So on Yom Kippur, so Kohen Gadol is going to be taking the center lane, going up the ramp. So what is that all about? So v'hayom ola be'emtza v'yored be'emtza. Right, the girsa over here seems to it should be changed. In other words, in the Gemara itself, we have the word olin, but of course, it should really be ola because we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. So my time, mishum kavod to Kohen Gadol. So basically, it's a way of showing kavod to the Kohen Gadol. How is it showing kavod to the Kohen Gadol that he goes up right in the middle of the ramp? So you could say, without Rashi, you could simply say that look, it's obviously different. Meaning we're so used to on a daily basis seeing the Kohen going up the right lane of the ramp, and meanwhile the Kohen Gadol is going up the center. Already that shows that it's something unique and unusual. But Rashi over here says actually something a little bit different. Rashi writes over here, by the Kohen Gadol now going up the center of the ramp, what does that mean? It means that he's going to have to take more steps. Right. Because when he goes up the middle of the ramp, so he's also going to be making that right-hand turn, but obviously now it's a wider right-hand turn. Okay, good. So the Kohen Gadol is going to need to take more steps. So more steps for the Kohen Gadol. So that shows cover the Kohen Gadol. Again, there's always these competing values. Meaning, on one hand, we want to extend a lot of honor to the Kohen Gadol. On the other hand, Yom Kippur is a really tiring day, and we want to try to minimize the amount of steps that he takes. So over here, you see a little bit of tension over here. Meaning, we're expanding the number of steps that he takes. Yeah, but we're showing him honor. Okay. B'chol yom Kohen Gadol mikadish adaver glav min hakiyor. Next, the Mishnah described how every day, so where do you wash your hands? Meaning standard Kohen, washing his hands from the kiyor. We already described that earlier back in the third parak. Right? Remember one of the enhancements that were made to the base of Mikdash on the kiyor. Instead of two spouts, they made 12 spouts. Good. So that was Ben Katina, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so that's the kiyor was done for Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. But meanwhile, in Yom Kippur, for the Kohen Gadol, Ketone Shel Zahav. So he's going to be using a special golden pitcher. So my tamim shem kvodo shel kohen gadol. So over here, again, the Gemara says it very succinctly, and that is, we want to extend honor and kavod to the kohen gadol. So therefore, he's going to be washing his hands using a keton hazahav, golden pitcher. B'chol yom ha-yashama abra ma'arachos. Good. And now, for the remainder of today's daf, here we are in Yuma Memhei. So we're going to be talking about the number of pyres there are on the top of the Mizbeach. So here, a quick refresher of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, if you remember, back on Mem Gimel Midbeis, so it described the number of pyres on the top of the Mizbeach. Why is that the topic of discussion in the Mishnah? So it's very simple. So in the Mishnah, we learned, and we're going to review right now, that there are three opinions on this matter in terms of how many pyres there are on the Mizbeach. Once again, it's one of those really unusual situations where we're debating something which, you know, was around for hundreds of years and, you know, and we lost our Mesorah in terms of how many pyres there were on the top of the Mizbeach. Meaning, well, somebody remembers, somebody recalls, someone want to give us a first-hand viewpoint? Okay. Look, it's strange that this is up for debate, but it is. It's up for debate. So and the number is going to be either two or three or four. That's the three opinions. Now, why are we discussing it here? Because that we know on Yom Kippur, everyone's in agreement that on Yom Kippur there's going to be an extra pyre. Why? Because on Yom Kippur, that extra pyre is going to be used for the coals in order to burn the special ketores on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, good. So we know that we have an extra pyre in Yom Kippur. So, but in order to describe for the extra pyre, so we first have to describe what is the baseline. Meaning on a standard day, how many pyres do we start with? And then Yom Kippur, we add one. But how many did we start with on a regular day? So b'chol yom v'yom hayosham arba marachos tanu rabbanan. So here we are now, and we're going to start with the brice. And the brice over here, it's a tosefta. It's going to go through the three opinions that we touched on in the Mishnah. The brice over here is going to give it to us in slightly more detail. So b'chol yom hayushtay marachos v'yom shalosh achas marachos gedol v'achas marachos shnia shokatars v'achas shemosifim baba yom divrei Rav Yehuda. So first we'll start with Shitas Rav Yehuda, which is that the default a number of pyres that are on top of the Mizbeach are two. The main, where basically we're burning everything on the top of the main, and then there's a secondary. Secondary is for what? For the Ketores. We're burning the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaPanim on a daily basis, like we just got done describing, two times a day. And so the coals that are used for the Mizbeach HaPanim, the golden Mizbeach inside the Heichal, is coming from that secondary fire. Then in Yom Kippur, we add a pyre on the top of the Mizbeach. Good. That's Shitas Rav Yehuda. The source for Rav Yehuda, we're going to get back to, but first, we're going to go through all three Shitas. Number two, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chol Yom Shalosh Vayom Arba, the default setting is three pyres on the Mizbeach. On Yom Kippur, it's going to be four. Achash HaMarach HaGadol, V'achash HaMarach HaShniyah, Shel Ketores, V'achash Shel Kiyum HaEish, V'achash HaMosifim B'Yom Divrei, B'Yom, that is the Shita of Rabbi Yosef. Rav Yossi says, one is the main, two is the for the Ketores, good. And what's number three? Standard third pyre, according to Rabbi Yossi, is going to be for what he describes as Kiyum HaEish. What is Kiyum HaEish? So Rashi says over here, Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Shel Kiyum HaEish, Shim Ein Eish HaMarach HaGedola Misgaber, Mosifin Alav Mizeh. It's basically, I'm going back a generation, but it's basically a pilot light. Right, if the Maracha Gedola goes out for whatever reason, so you have now that this pyre, which is basically going to be the source, almost like a pilot light, so that if the main one goes out, so I'll go to this third pyre, which is what is described as Kiyum HaEish. Good. So according to Rabbi Yossi, three pyres on and every day standard three pyres, and then in Yom Kippur you add a fourth. Everybody, and this will become unbelievably clear, everybody adds a pyre on Yom Kippur. It's just a question of what's your baseline. And finally, Rabbi Meir Omer, B'chol yom arba v'ayom chamesh. Every day it's four, and today it's going to be five. Right? Today's daf is mem hey. Right? So just an excellent mnemonic to help remember. So it's 4-5. Well, it's, you know, I know there are three opinions over here, but here's the third opinion, which is that's four in a standard day and five on Yom Kippur. Right? 4-5. So b'chol yom arba v'ayom chamesh. So good. So Rebbe Meir starts off now with the first one being the main, the second one being the fire used for the coals that are used for the kitaras. The third one is kiyamayish, like we described just moments earlier. And now, obviously, there's a fourth pyre that's on a standard day. And then the fourth pyre is that, you know, if I have any limbs that were not put up onto the Mizbech from the previous day, so then they're going to go up onto this fourth pyre. Now, just in general, and it's pretty clear from Rashi as well, if I don't have limbs that went up onto the Mizbech, meaning I shechted a carbon, the limbs have to be burned. You have the whole night to burn the limbs. Now, if you didn't put the limbs up onto the Mizbech the whole night, so then those limbs are disqualified. That's the psul of what's called lina. You could also call it nosar, but nosar is typically the term that we use to describe carbon that is expired for our consumption. Meaning, if we're going to eat a carbon and the carbon went over its time, so that's called nosar. However, something is supposed to go up onto the mizbeach, and it doesn't go up onto the mizbeach, and now it's past the time. So it's a psul called lina. So over here, we're describing, you know, if it doesn't go up onto the fire, so you put it up onto the fourth pyre. Put it up onto the fourth pyre. If you didn't put it up overnight, so you no longer have an opportunity to put it up onto the Mizbech. It has a psulina. So it will become clear from the Gemara. What we're describing over here is that it was up on the Mizbech, just simply wasn't burning on the Mizbech. And so now, according to the third sheet of Rebbe Meir, so you have a fourth pyre that for any limbs that were on the Mizbech, but for whatever reason weren't burnt, they're going to go on this fourth pyre. Okay. And then, of course, right, just finishing up Rebbe Meir, V'achar Shemosif and Baba Yom. And then, of course, again, on Yom Kippur, you had a pyre. So according to Rebbe Meir, comes out in Yom Kippur, you had five pyres going on the Mizbeach. Okay, now, a couple things the Gemara is going to comment on. That's the end of the Braisa. Now, Dekule Amamiya Starte Isluhu. So, you know, everyone agrees that there are two pyres on the Mizbeach. Okay, and it's just a question whether there's a third or whether there's a fourth. But everyone agrees that there's two on a daily basis. Where does the number two come from? So that's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. How do I know? So Amakra, he ha'ola al mokda al mizbeach ol alayla. So when we're describing that, the carbon ola, which is going to be burnt on the mizbeach, it's mokda al ha'mizbeach, it's being burnt on the fire. Zumaracha gedola. So that is a reference to the main pyre. And ve'esh ha'mizbeach tukad bo. And then the Torah describes that there's also esh ha'mizbeach. What is that a reference to? So that's Zumara Cheshneh Shul Ketaras. So that's a description of the second pyre. So V'Rebbe Yosi Kiyameish Minale. Okay, so good. So now we have Mekoros, we have Pesukim that go over pyres number one and two, which again, everyone agrees to, everyone submits to the first and second pyre. Now we have Shitas Rebbe Yosi and Shitas Rebbe Meir. So let's go. Rebbe Yosi says that there's a third pyre, what's called Kiyameish, kind of like the pilot light. So how does he know about that? So nafkalei me viha esh al mizbech tukad bo. So there's an additional pasuk there in the beginning of Parshat Tzav, viha esh al mizbech tukad bo, and Rebbe Yossi learns that from the pasuk that there's a third pyre, a pilot light, if you will, to which the Gemara says Rebbe Yehuda ha'ila atzasa salisa udasa. Now Rebbe Yehuda says that's not teaching me about a new pyre. That's talking about the kindling, meaning how do you make a fire? Good. So you go back to your Boy Scout days. And so you make a fire by starting with the kindling, and then once you got a fire going, so then you could throw the bigger pieces of wood on top. So the kindling, that's all the pasuk over here is making a description of. It's not a new pyre, it's just simply the kindling. So Ditanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Minay la'sasas alisa shalotei ala barosh shel mizbech. Where do you do the kindling? You do it on the top of the mizbech. And tamalamar ve'eshel mizbech tukad bo. So I'm Rebbe Yossi minayin she'osem ma'arach alakiyam ha'esh. And Rebbe Yossi says, how do I know that there's going to be a third pyre? And that's going to be the Kiyam HaEsh, the pilot light. So Tamalam Rav Eshel HaMizbech Tukad Bo. Okay, good. So over here, the Braisa gives us the back and forth between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi. But what comes out over here is that according to Rav Yossi, the source that teaches me that there's a pile of light is the Pasuk of Eishel Mizbech Tukabo. And the counter argument the Brisa gives us is Rav Yehuda, no, that's not talking about a separate individual pyre. It's talking about the kindling. Kindling has to be done on the Mizbech by a Kohen. The Gemara says, now Rabbi Yossi, now he also agrees that kindling has to be done on the Mizbech by Kohen. How does, what's his source? Because the Pasuk, according to Rabbi Yossi, is teaching me about a third pyre. So where's the source about the kindling? So nafkale me'echad the nafkale le Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, oh, so I'll tell you where the source is. Source is coming from wherever Rabbi Shimon generates the source. Who is Rabbi Shimon? We're going to make an introduction right now. The pasuk of Vinasum b'nei Aaron Kohen Eish al Mizbech. That tells me that when it comes to the kindling, has to be done by the Kohen, has to be done with the Kli Sharis, has to be done on the Mizbech. Well, this person. Anyway, let's assume that that's so. Amalo Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, right now, the reason why we're quoting the Brisa is because we want to hear the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So Amalo Rabbi Shimon v'chital al-adatcha shezar krav l'gabe mizbech. Like, what are you thinking? You're thinking that a non-coin can go up onto the top of the mizbech? Elalimit al-atsasas alisa shalotei ela berosho shal mizbech. So it just tells me that the kindling has to be done berosho shal mizbech. Okay, good. So Rabbi Shimon now, Perek of Vayikra. So Rabbi Shimon says, that's the source that tells me that kindling has to be done by the Kohen on the top of the Mizbeach. Good. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't even need a Pasuk, because you wouldn't even entertain the Havamina to learn from any other, you would not have even had a Havamina that we would have even needed a Pasuk. So for Rabbi Yehuda, imahasam Havamina, kai a'ara, So Rabbi Yehuda would say, look, if all I had was just an argument, the argument's not enough. Because here's what you could do. You can have a non-Kohen. He's not allowed to be on the Mizbech. Okay, good. He's not allowed to be on the Mizbech. So you get, what's it called? You get the leaf blower. I know I'm anachronistic. But you get the leaf blower. You stand there at the base of the Mizbech. And you blow it in the direction of the fire on the top of the Mizbeach. Meaning, you could do the kindling while not being on the Mizbeach. Okay, it's gonna be a bit challenging, but you could do it. So if all I had was just an argument, you're not gonna have a non-coin going up onto the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, so I'll have the non-coin standing by the side of the Mizbeach, and they'll do the kindling over there. So Kamash Malan. So I need a pasuk to tell me that no, kindling has to be done by a coin. Even though we could generate a way in which a non-coin could do it, no, but it's going to be done by a coin. Okay. Rabbi Meir, now, according to Rabbi Meir, now there's a fourth pyre on the top of the Mizbeach, and that's going to be for any limbs that were not burnt. So where does he get that from? So nafkale mi-vi-esh. So he learns it out from the Vav. The Vav is allows for a drasha. And Rabbanu, Vav lo darshi, and the Chachamim will just simply say, no, the Vav is a connector. Vav is not there to present in a separate drasha. Rabbanu, Nevarim b'Bedarim, Shlo Nisakum Yibarav, my Avid Lay. Now, according to the Chachamim, if I have a limb that was on the Mizbeach but wasn't burnt, so what am I going to do with that limb? So, Mahadalel, Maracha Gedola. The Gemara says, it's not that hard to figure out. Remember the main pyre where we're burning everything anyway? So take any limb that was not burnt on the Mizbech overnight. And again, it wasn't burnt on the Mizbech overnight. It was on the Mizbech, but it just simply wasn't burnt on the Mizbech, and just put it on the main pyre. D'tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Minan levar me'bedan shlo nisaklu mi'be'erif. Any limbs that were not burnt overnight. So shesodron agabi Mizbech. So what you're going to do is you're going to keep it on the Mizbech. Tosus points out over here, top Tosus on the Amud Beis. We now turn to the Amud Beis. Top Tosus on the Amud Beis says, well, you're going to keep it on the Mizbech. You have to keep it on the Mizbech. Because again, I know I made this point earlier, but here Tosus says the Beferish. If I don't keep it on the Mizbech and let's say it's a carbonola, and the limbs of the carbonola were not left on the Mizbech overnight, So now it's going to be pasul, the pasul of lina. So you're going to put it on the mizbeach overnight, even though for whatever reason there's no room to burn it. And now, next morning, what you could do is that because it was on the mizbeach, it's protected from the psul of lina, and now you can burn it the next day. Shesojan agabi mizbeach v'im ein ma'achzik and shesojan al kevesh al agabi sovev. And now, anywhere else you can keep it in order so that it does not become disqualified. Are there any other areas of? I'm using the word over here almost like a pun. Are there any other areas of sanctuary where the limbs can be put on over there and will become impervious to the psul of lina? And the brace over here says, yeah, you can put it on the ramp, or you can put it on the sovev. You know, right, if you know the mizbeach well, so you know that there are two ledges. One is the yesod, and the other is the sovev. So you could put the meat on the sovev, the limbs of the animal on the sovev. There it's going to be protected. Or you can put it on the ramp. There too it's going to be protected. It's pretty clear from the Gemara over here, you cannot put on the yesod. So Tosfos over here points out, yeah, you know why? Because even though the yesod, obviously, the ledge of the yesod is on the mizbeach, but it's not high enough on the mizbeach. Tosfos says it has to be on the top portion of the mizbeach, top meaning simply second half of the mizbeach. Okay? Okay, yeah, I understand that, but right now we're talking about the psul of lina, and if it's omedly sorry, even if it stands to be burnt, but if it's not on the mizbeach, it's going to become disqualified. It only leads me to wonder. I'm not sure. Meaning, so we made a distinction between limbs being on the yesod versus being on the sovev. Sovev protected from the psul of lina. Yesod not protected. By the ramp, are we going to make a distinction between the top portion of the ramp and the lower portion of the ramp? I don't know. That doesn't sound that way, because over here it says it can go anywhere in the ramp. Okay. Good. And so that's what you're going to do. You're going to put all those limbs on protected area, on hallowed grounds where it will not become possible with lina, either on the mizbeach itself, on the top of the mizbeach, or on the sovev, or on the ramp. And then when there's room on the main maracha, you burn on the main maracha. Good. V'Rabbi Meir, kule ola tamachzi via tamachzi kule kitores. Now Rabbi Meir, now remember, for Rabbi Meir, he doesn't subscribe to that drasha. Rabbi Meir has an additional pyre for any limbs that were not burnt overnight. So what does Rabbi Meir do with the drush that we just cited? He says, nah. He says, look, if I have unburnt limbs, so they're going to get burnt. Let's have unburnt ketores, meaning that every day the Kohen puts ketores on the inner mizbech azav, and you're burning it. Okay, but maybe not all the ketores is going to get burnt. Do I take the kernels of unburnt ketores and put it on the fire in order to burn it? Not necessary. Meaning that you're laying the ketores on the coals in the mizbeach azav, whatever gets burnt is burnt, and whatever's not burnt, that's fine. I didn't need the Gemara quotes of Brisa supporting this. Rabbi Chanina bar ben Yomei b'debei, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, asher tochal eish as olam mizbeach, ikule ola tamachzir, via tamachzir, ikule ketores. Good. The Gemara quotes of Brisa. The Brisa clearly makes a distinction between limbs that were not burnt versus ketores that was not burnt. Limbs that were not burnt, so as long as they were not disqualified through lina, you put them on the fire. Ketores that wasn't burnt, that goes unburnt, can remain unburnt. The Gemara now wants to know, okay, good. So we just went through the three-way machlokas, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Meir, in terms of whether there are two, three, or four pyres on the top of the mizbeach. And we just went through all the drushas that got us to these positions. Good. So now that we're here, so now the Gemara wants to know, in Yom Kippur, you know, everyone agrees that you had a pyre. Because on Yom Kippur, the coals that are going to be used for the burning of the ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim are coming from that additional pyre in Yom Kippur. And the Gemara's question is really simple. How do I know that in Yom Kippur you have an additional pyre? And that's according to everybody. For Rebbe Yehuda, it's going to be on Yom Kippur, three pyres. For Rebbe Yossi, four pyres on Yom Kippur. For Rebbe Meir, five pyres on Yom Kippur. So how do I know? So, nafka lahu, mi v'ha'esh So he learns it out from the words v'ha'esh, specifically from the vav and the hey. Now I know, and the Gemara is going to acknowledge this, in that just moments earlier on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, you know, there's a debate. If there's an extra vav, do I darshan it? Do I not darshan it? Good, the Tanaim argue. But the Gemara says, v'afil lamanda lo darish vav, v'hei darish. You don't darshan vav, that's fine, but you do darshan vav and hey. Okay. Eish tamid lamai asa. The Torah says that it's going to be a continuous fire. Mi bai lelecha detanya. I need it for to teach me the following braisa. Eish tamid tukar ala mizbech lo zichbe limin amal amar chashniya shakitaris shalo tehe ela ala mizbech hachitzon. Where are we keeping the second pyre? Meaning, we know that there is a second pyre, right? Go back to everyone's position. Rebbe Yehuda, I'm going in order. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Meir. Everyone says that there's a second pyre. Where is it? Now we all know the answer. The answer is it's on the outer mizbech, the main mizbech, the mizbech hachitzon. The Gemara wants to know, how do I know? Meaning, you know what we're going to do with those coals? We're going to take those coals and we're going to bring it into the heichal in order to burn the ketores. So the Gemara says, I got an idea. Why not just simply take that pyre and put it on the inner mizbech? Anyway, that's where it's going. That's where it's headed. So that's what the Gemara is now teaching us, a source that tells me that the coals for the inner mizbech is going to be outside. And by the way, meaning just, if I can just strengthen the Gemara's question over here. So you know, the coals outside, the fires outside, they're open, they're exposed to the elements, right? In other words, if the pyre could be in the heichal, so you have a much more controlled area. Obviously, the heichal has got a roof over it. It's a building. So you'll have a pyre and it's not going to be open to the elements. Okay. Now it happens to be that early in the Masechta, you remember? We talked about how one of the nisim that occurred during the first base of Mikdash is that the coals never went out, the fire never went on, the Mizbeach. Okay. Anyway, but nevertheless, the halacha is that the second pyre has to be on the Mizbeach Achitzon. How do I know that? So the Gemara now is giving us a drasha. Shalot tehela Mizbeach Achitzon ish. So the Gemara says, good. So, I'm sorry, Okay, good. So that drasha tells us that the second pyre has to be on the outer mizbech. Now, you know there's going to be a couple of other fires as well. Notably, the fire for the menorah. And the fire for the ketores being burnt on Yom Kippur. They also are going to be on the Aron Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Vidinu. And the Gemara says, and look, and we can make the argument. Because Nemreish, Bekatoris, Nemreish, Bemachte, Menorah, we have the word Eish when describing Ketoris. We have the word Eish by both the Machte and the Menorah. Okay, the Eish by the Menorah, is not, okay. Anyway, let's go on. So the malah halan mizbech achitzon afkan al mizbech achitzon. So just like the eish for the ketores is on the outer mizbech, so the eish for the menorah and the eish for the ketores and Yom Kippur is also going to be on the outer mizbech. Oklach lederech zur. The Gemara says, I tell you what, if you want to make an argument, I can argue the other direction. Nemra eish be ketores. V'nemra eish be machto menorah. Malah halan besamachlo af machto menorah besamachlo. You know. For the Eish, for the Ketores, so I'm going to use the fire that's going to be used for it, the coals that are going to be used from it, are coming from an area that's proximate. So the Gemara wants to know, well, if that's true, maybe the value over here is proximity, and that means to say that what's closer to the menorah? The Mizbech HaZahav or the Mizbech HaChitzon? Obviously the Mizbech HaZahav. So now, if you want to make an argument, I could argue that the coals for the menorah and the coals for the Kodesh HaKadoshim should be coming from an area of proximity, i.e., the Mizbech HaZahav. So Tamalamar Eish Tamid Tukar Al Mizbech Lo Sichbe Eish Tamid Shemar Tilecha Lo Tehe La Barosh Hashem Mizbech Achitzah. So the Gemara basically says, look, if it's subject to arguments, I can argue that the coals for the menorah and for the Kodesh HaKadoshim should come from the inner mizbech. I can make that argument. So the Gemara says, great, that's why we have a drasha. Because it's not subject to arguments, it's not subject to logic and reasoning, it's subject to drasha. Lamanu eish lamenara eish lamachta minayin. Now it happens to be that right now we have a drasha only for the menorah. What about for the coals used for the kodesh hakadoshim and Yom Kippur? So if it didn't, nemer eish b'machta, nemer eish b'menorah. And the Gemara over here once again is going to go through the same exercise that if it weren't for a drasha, we can make an argument. So malahalan agabe mizbech achitzon afkana mizbech achitzon. So the first argument that we can go in one direction is Mizbech HaChitzon, meaning we're just simply going to say that, look, it all comes from the Mizbech HaChitzon. We've already established that the fire for the Ketores and the fire for the Menorah is coming from the Esh HaChitzon. Good, so the fire for the coals for the Kodesh HaKadoshim also comes from the outer Mizbech. We can make that argument. Oklach LeDerech Zu. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, we can also go in another direction. Nemer Esh BeKetores and Nemer Esh BeMachta. Malalam B'Samach Lo Afkam B'Samach Lo. Or we could just make the argument of proximity. You know, the coals for the inner Mizbech is going to come from a proximate area, notably the outer Mizbech. Then if the value is proximity, so then I'll say that the coals for the Kodesh HaKadoshim should come from a proximate area, which is, of course, the Mizbech HaZahav. Okay, so again, arguments could take us in either direction. So Tamalam Rav Lakach Malo Machta Gachale Eish Me'al HaMizbech Melefnei Hashem. So we have a drasha, and the drasha is based on the pasuk where the Torah describes the getting of the coals for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, otherwise known as the Pesukim and Acharimos. So the Torah says that you're going to get it from the Mizbeach. How do I know it's the outer Mizbeach? The careful reading of the pasuk would indicate that. It says, V'lakach malo amachta gachale eish me'al ha-mizbeach Melifnei Hashem. You know the Mizbech that faces the Heichal. We can't be talking about the inner Mizbech because it doesn't face the Heichal. It's in the Heichal. What Mizbech is facing the Heichal? The answer is the outer Mizbech. So v'itzrich lemichtav me'al Mizbech v'itzrich lemichtav melifnei Hashem. The Gemara says that if you read the pasuk, which we just did carefully, so there are two indicators. I need both. Why? If the Torah would have just simply described it as get the coals from the Mizbeach, I could have argued it's the inner Mizbeach. So So that's why it says Melefnei Hashem, the Mizbeach that faces the Heichal. That's the outer Mizbeach. And now v'ikas rechman melefnei Hashem havamina dafka melefnei Hashem ava mehai gisa mehai gisa. If the Torah would have just simply said milifnei Hashem, I would have said it has to be the outer mizbech. Where from the outer mizbech? Wherever. In other words, it doesn't matter. So ava mehai gisa mehai gisa ema lo. So I'm sorry. The havamina would have been that it can't be from anywhere on the Mizbech. So that's why it says Mizbech Hashem. Me'al HaMizbech, which means to tell me that it could be anywhere on the Mizbech. The Milifnei Hashem is just telling me that's the outer Mizbech. Where on the outer Mizbech? It could be anywhere on the outer Mizbech. Okay, Adkan. Let's quickly review. Let's recap our daf today. The first part of today's daf, just a little bit more detail on some of the notable differences of the equipment used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur as opposed to the rest of the year. And we talked about, first of all, the red gold as opposed to yellow gold. Standard gold that was used year-round was yellow gold, but on Yom Kippur, a special gold called red gold. Okay, I can't help you more. The Gemara went through that there are seven types of golds, machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Seven types of golds or five types of golds, but anyway, there are multiple types of gold. And the red gold that used on Yom Kippur is of the highest quality. That's number one. Number two, our next big discussion, not big, but our next discussion was you're going to be grinding the Ketores year-round. On Yom Kippur, you're going to be grinding it, and then you're going to grind it again. On Yom Kippur, there's a requirement that has to be daka min hadaka. The Gemara cites a drasha to get us to that. Standard operating procedure year-round is that when Kohanim go up the ramp, they're going to go on the east side of the ramp. They're basically going in the right lane because they're going to make a right-hand turn when they get to the top of the Mizbeach. However, Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he's going right up the center. And the Gemara describes it as a function of Kvodo Shel Kohen Gadol. Shows honor to the Kohen Gadol. We went over the Rashi. When the Kohen Gadol washes his hand, he uses a golden pitcher, not the Kiyur. Again, Kvodo Shel Kohen Gadol. Okay, that's good. That's the first half of today's daf. I know it's a lot less than the first half, but That was the first topics that we covered in today's daf. And then the remaining section of today's daf was all one topic, and that is going to be addressing the three opinions amongst the Tanaim in terms of how many pyres are on the top of the Mizbeach. The range of positions year-round is that it's either two pyres, three pyres, or four pyres. And that's the machlokis between. I'm going to go in the order of two, three, and four. It's going to be a machlokis between Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe Meir. And the Gemara cites the Braisa, cites the Tosefta. Then the Gemara goes through drushas, addressing all three positions. What does each do with each other's drushas? The standard back and forth of the Gemara in terms of addressing every one of the opinions and sourcing every one of the opinions. And that basically takes us all the way to the Amud Beis. And then on the Amud Beis, the Gemara acknowledges that in Yom Kippur, we're adding a pyre. Everyone agrees we're adding a pyre. If your standard is two on Yom Kippur, it's three. If your standard is three on Yom Kippur, it's four. And as you already figured out, if your standard is four, your Yom Kippur is going to be five. So for Rebbe Meir, there are going to be five pyres on the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur. What's the additional pyre for? So we all know the answer. It's for the burning of the Ketoros in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So for that, there's going to be a special pyre. Again, the special quality of Yom Kippur, where we're burning Ketoros in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so a pyre is designated specifically for that. How do I know that? The Gemara quotes a drasha to get us to that additional pyre. And then the Gemara, at the end of today's daf, says, you know, all these pyres, even though many of it is going to be used for fuel to burn in the Heichal, in the Mizbeach HaZahav, and the Menorah, on Yom Kippur and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but all the coal sourcing is going to go to the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And the end of today's daf is basically, how do I know that? So the Gemara says, you can argue it, but if you can argue it, the arguments are not conclusive, and the Gemara's conclusion is that it's a drasha.